Breaking into a broad grin, Volker said into his comm unit,
"What did I tell you, boys? The Syracuse is our good luck charm. She's like a magnet, drawing ships to us. Now we've got two vessels we can salvage."
"I don't like it," said Nico. "Why is she running silent? Who is she?"
"Maybe another band of salvage operators just like us," Volker mused. "That could be trouble. Not if we're ready for them, and they're not ready for us."
Nico said nothing.
"I'm coming over to Vokeltot," Volker said. "We've got to take Hunter fast and be ready for this other ship when he gets here."
"An old woman and a priest," Nico replied. "Shouldn't be much trouble."
"Right. Let's nail them quick and clean."
He clicked the communicator shut and said to Pauline,
"I've got to attend to business back on my ship. Don't do anything foolish while I'm gone."
Pauline glared at him. As Volker started up the tube ladder toward the ship's hub, Angela asked her mother,
"What can we do?"
"Wait," Pauline said, in a hushed voice.
"Wait for them to come and get us?"
"Wait until that smiling ape gets back aboard his own ship. Then we go over to the main airlock as fast as we can and get into our suits."
"The spacesuits? Why?"
"We're getting off this ship."
"But you heard him," Angela objected. "They're going to take the ship that's approaching us. It wouldn't do us any good to—"
"We're not staying on this ship with that gang of rapists waiting to get their hands on us," Pauline said.
"I don't care if we die of asphyxiation in the suits. We are getting away from here."
On Hunter's Bridge, Theo slid into the communications chair. "We're close enough for a tight laser beam transmission," he said. It was a statement, not a question. "You want to speak to your mother and sister?" asked Elverda. Theo nodded. "I want to let them know I'm alive, without that Volker or his crew hearing me." Silently, he added, "But I don't know how long I'm going to stay alive. The two of us, Dorn and me, against 10 of them." Dorn was standing behind Elverda in the command chair, moving his prosthetic arm in a circle, testing its bearings. "Do you know how to activate the laser?" Elverda asked Theo. "Yes, ma'am," he replied, his fingers playing across the console's keyboard. Looking up at the comm screen, he saw the battered hulk of Syracuse looming close enough almost to touch. A tiny red dot showed where the laser was aimed. Theo played the controls, marching that red dot across the vessel's curving hull until it locked onto the optical receiver built into the backup control pod. The dot suddenly changed to green, and Theo pressed the key that opened the communications link to the receiver. "Okay," he said to himself. "Nobody hears this except Mom on the receiving end of the laser beam." "Mom, Angie," he called. "It's me, Theo. I'm on Hunter. They picked me up after Volker's thugs tried to kill me. I'm okay. I'm coming back to help you." No response. Theo pressed the repeat key, but still there was no answer from Syracuse. "They're not in the control pod, I guess," Theo said, as much to himself as to Elverda and Dorn. "But the intercom should relay the message."
Victor was weighing the possibilities. "That's definitely another ship attached to Syracuse," he told himself. On his main display screen, he could see the smaller vessel linked to Syracuse, like a lamprey eel that's attached itself to a hapless fish. And there's Hunter, heading in. He couldn't be patient any longer. He got up from the bridge's command chair and went to the communications console. "Attention, Syracuse," he said, his voice brittle with tension. "This is Pleiades. I heard your call, and I'll rendezvous with you in..." He glanced at the digital clock readout on the screen. "In 78 minutes.
Pauline was in the locker area just outside Syracuse's main airlock, checking the seals and connections of Angela's suit, when the intercom speaker in the overhead announced, "Incoming message." She ignored the statement. Getting Angie suited up and ready to escape the ship was more important.
"Another message," Angela said. "That makes two."
Satisfied at last that her daughter's suit was spaceworthy, Pauline reached for the leggings of her own suit and sat on the bench that ran in front of the lockers. Never mind the messages, she said. The important thing is to get off this ship before Valker comes back. Angela stood stiffly in the Surmit suit, the visor of her bubble helmet raised.
But aren't you going to check the messages? She asked.
They're probably for Valker from his crew.
But there's nobody out there to send messages to us, Angie, Pauline said, grunting with the effort of tugging on her heavy boots.
Maybe it's from that other ship heading toward us, Angie insisted.
Pauline almost smiled. She's still young enough to hope for a miracle.
That's the Hunter. The only people aboard her are an old woman and a priest. I'm hoping that we can get to them before Valker seizes their ship. Maybe we can get away on their ship, if we're lucky. Angela gave her mother her stubborn scowl and clomped to the comm panel mounted on the bulkhead.
It wouldn't hurt to hear what they're saying, she said, holding her gloved hand up to the panel.
She's right, Pauline realized. Shrugging, she said, Go ahead, then. Angela pressed the comm unit's on button and said,
Play first message, please.
They heard, Mom, Angie, it's me, Theo. I'm on Hunter. They picked me up after Valker's thugs tried to kill me. I'm okay. I'm coming back to help you.
Theo!
Both women cried in unison.
He's alive! He's coming back!
Pauline redoubled her efforts to get into her suit. We've got to get to him before Valker's crew takes over that ship, she said.
We should send him a message, said Angela. Warn him!
No, we can't do that, Pauline countered. Valker and his people would hear any message we sent, unless we used the laser unit and that's back in the pod.
Besides, we need Hunter close enough for us to get to, Angela agreed.
That's right. Pauline added silently, but not so close that Valker and his scavengers get to her first. She slipped into the hard-shell torso, and Angela came away from the comm panel to help her seal it to the leggings.
Back on Vogeltot's bridge, Valker listened to Victor Zacharias's message. Pleiades, he exulted. That's a fine ship. And there's only one man aboard her, a thief at that. Unless he's picked up a crew, Kirk muttered. Good point, said Valker. Let's bring out the weapons. Like everything else aboard Vogeltot, the weapon supply was a hodgepodge of pieces stolen, scavenged, or bartered from other ships. There were 4 genuine laser pistols, complete with compact power packs attached to their belts. There were 2 cumbersome laser welders that could cut metal and easily slice flesh, although it took 2 men to carry each one of them in their bulky power packs. There were a variety of tools, such as cordless drills and wrenches that could be used as knives or bludgeons. There was even an old-fashioned air pistol that fired tranquilizing darts, although Valker wondered if the tranquilizer was still potent after all the years the darts had lain unused. Finally, there was a belt of mini-grenades, powerful enough to blow down an airlock hatch. Valker looked over his grinning crew, each of them now carrying sidearms or tools-turned weapons strapped to their hips. 2 of the men hefted one of the bulky laser welders and its power pack between them. Valker himself had taken a laser pistol and flung the belt of mini-grenades across his broad shoulder. "You look like a band of real fierce pirates," he said, laughing. "We're ready for anything," said Kirk, brandishing a power drill whose bit was almost as long as his forearm.
"Yeah," Nico agreed. "And after we've taken these 2 ships, we get the 2 babes, right?"
Valker had to force his smile, but he said, "Right."
Smelter Ship Hunter, Airlock. Standing at the lip of the open airlock hatch, Theo saw clearly the curving flank of Syracuse, the long, ugly gash in one of the fuel tank sections, the stumps that had once held the missing command pod, the new antennas he had painted on the adjoining portion of the hull, the backup command pod. They were approaching the ship from its top, the side opposite the place where Vogeltot hung mated to Syracuse by the flexible connector tube. Theo was in his hard-shell spacesuit with a new backpack that Dorn had provided. The cyborg stood beside him in a nanofabric suit. "The living quarters are on the other side of the pod," Theo told the cyborg, pointing with an outstretched arm. The main airlock is...